read two portions of God's Word and consider again together the person whom we've been considering all week in the morning with the children and in the evenings with children plus adults. And that wonderful person, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you care to read along with me, I just want to read a few verses, just the beginning of Psalm 40. Psalm 40, a psalm written by David. Verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And verse 4, just the first part of the verse. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Now, I'd just like to read an account of a man, a prophet named Jeremiah, who literally was in a pit in the miry clay, physically. And it's a picture of the spiritual aspect, which we just read about. A sinner, which we all are, sinking in our sins. And that is Jeremiah chapter 38. This actually happened to Jeremiah. But as we shall see, it's a lovely picture, a portrait of the spiritual condition of everyone prior to coming to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Jeremiah 38 and verse 6. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Malchiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water, but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Now, when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah, the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon. And he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city. Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, Take from hence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die. So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence old cast clouts, or a piece of clothing nobody wanted, and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, Put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords, and they took him up out of the dungeon. And Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. And the Lord will bless, as he always does, the public reading of his precious word. I read a little story, true story, about a mouse, big garbage can, slippery sides, food in the bottom, and a mouse discovered this delicacies at the bottom, a banquet for the mouse. And so he hopped down into the can, which was 3 or 4 feet high, plastic, and he thoroughly enjoyed himself. He ate to the full. And then he decided, well, I think I better get out of here. But he had a problem now. He couldn't get up. He couldn't climb up the sides of that garbage can because it was so slippery. And he's jumping and jumping, and he's stuck. But one of the little girls who lived in the house came out and heard this noise and squeaking, and so she looked in the garbage can, there's this little field mouse. She took pity on the little field mouse, as she did. And so she reached in. Not a lot of girls would do that, or women either, I'm sure. But she did. And she caught that little field mouse in her hand and lifted him up and took him out in the field and let him go free. Now, the little mouse got what he wanted, but it cost him his freedom. He found himself in a dungeon where he could not escape on his own. He needed help from above. And that is a situation of everyone in the world. And we soon find that out as we get out of childhood into adolescence and then teenage years. We find out, I find myself in a prison. And I can't get out. And then Salvation's Day is when I understand that spiritually I am in a prison house of sin. And I look up. I don't look down to religion or men or men's ways and methods. No, I look up to the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, save me. Oh, Lord, save me. I'm in a dungeon. I'm in sin. Things are getting worse in my life. Things are getting out of hand in my life. Lord, save me. And Isaiah said, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And that mighty pierced hand, but spiritually, reaches down and lifts us up out of the prison house of sin. This is what happened to Jeremiah. We read about David's spiritual application in Psalm 40. Sets our feet upon a rock. The rock Christ Jesus, salvation, and establishes our going. And puts a new song in our mouth. A song I couldn't sing before. Praise unto our God. Why am I singing praise unto God? Because I know I'm not in a dungeon anymore. That mighty arm of salvation reached me, saved me. And I'm so happy now. I'm so happy. I want to sing praise unto our God. David says, many shall see it. How can you see a song? You can't see a song. What he means is, those around him would see the freedom that he now has from sin, delivered from its power. And they see a joyful man, a joyful woman, at peace. And they'll see this. Your very life is like a song being sung to those around you. Many shall see it, he said, and shall trust in the Lord. And that's the purpose of this meeting this morning and the meetings we've had all week. Is that if you're not in Christ, that you'd get in Christ. That you'd understand we all have a problem before we're saved. There has to be a salvation's day. It was for the little mouse. Well, there was for Jeremiah. He could tell the story. I was in the dungeon. I was in the miry clay. I was sinking. I was going to die in there. There was no water. There was no bread. I was helpless. And then Ebed-Melech. I look up and there's this man, not even a Jew, related to me. And I look up and I see love in his eyes. Jeremiah. Here. Here's some old cast clouts and rotten rags. Get some cords here. We're going to deliver you, Jeremiah. That's Salvation's Day. Jeremiah would tell that story with joy again and again and again, I'm sure. The day that a man named Ebed-Melech saved me and lifted me up out of the pit of my sins. A popular hymn is, I was sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore, oh, very deeply stained with sin, sinking to rise no more. Then the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. And the chorus of that lovely gospel hymn, love lifted me. Love lifted me. That's what lifted Jeremiah. Oh, yes, we see cords and rotten rags under his armholes, and we see 30 men, the power pulling him up. But he would say, you know what lifted me really as I said? Love lifted me. And God loves you. Oh, how he loves you. I have to get positioned before I can get saved and delivered. May God impress upon your heart this morning that if you're not saved, your position is the same as Jeremiah's. In sin. We're all born in sin. At some point in my life, I have to be delivered. If you accept Christ this morning as your Savior, you too can sing, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Now we read about the dungeon. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon. And in these few verses, the key word is dungeon. It's mentioned again and again, as we notice, 7 times it's mentioned. The dungeon. In the place where he is. Verse 9. Well, he's in a dungeon, all right. He can't get out. He's in a prison house. And I know even this morning as we sit here together and consider the Lord Jesus, there are many who woke up this morning. I spent many a morning waking up knowing I was in a prison. I had no assurance of heaven. I didn't know where I was going. I had no peace. I had no power in my life. My life had no purpose. There were things in my life that had gotten a hold of me. And then this morning, even right this morning as we talk, I'm sure there are people getting up out of bed or been up and having their coffee. And they're not happy people. They know. I'm in a prison house of some sort. And of course, a prison house is sin, but the bars of the prisons are just as real to them as the literal ones with bars. Bars of despair, depression, guilt, regret, haunted by memories of mistakes made, poor decisions made, some in the prison house of bitterness and anger, hatred within. They don't want you, but they do. Prison house of immorality. Young people thought that they would disobey God and taste of the pleasure that's only sanctified in the Bible between a man and a woman who are married. And now they're in a prison house. Can't get out. Innocence lost. Drugs, drinking. How many this morning are in the prison house of the brokenhearted? Oh, how many broken hearts there are in this world. I live in a little town called St. Stephen. Just about 6,000 people on the border of Calais, Maine. It has the highest rate per capita of suicides in the whole country of Canada. Oh, not 2 or 3 months goes by when we hear of a young person taking their own life. Many of them because their hearts are broken. You know, we're so vulnerable, aren't we, when we're teenagers? We fall in love. And, oh, everything's so wonderful. I have the man of my dreams, the woman of my dreams. And then suddenly there's a change of heart. And we're through. Mostly suicides are young men. They can't handle it. They're in that prison house of brokenheartedness. And how tragic they would take that step. Not looking up and realizing that there's a way out. There's somebody who mends broken hearts. That is the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Despair and prison house of worthlessness. You know, I've messed up. What's the good of my life and so on. Why am I not free of these things? Why am I not free to enjoy life and be happy? Why can't I be happy in life? To love and forgive and forget. Have peace. joy and love. Why? Because of these bars of the prison. And sin, basically, is the problem. And we're all in a dungeon prior to being born again, whether I realize it or not. Some don't even realize it. They don't realize they're in a dungeon. They don't feel like we're in a dungeon. Things are going well in my life. I've got life under control. May God impress upon your heart this morning, even though you might not feel you're in a dungeon, my friend, you are. And the bars are sin. That's why the Savior came, to bring out the prisoners from the prison. Isaiah 42:7. That's why He came. Not just to give us assurance of heaven, how marvelous that is. Saved from hell is double promise. Never, never will you see hell if you're saved. John 10:28. He came to deliver us. Oh, how it grieves His heart to see people going on in sadness and despair through their life. And all the time that they only look up and see Him. Arms open wide, ready to bestow blessings upon an individual. But how sad so many go through life and they think everything's fine. You know, maybe they're religious people and there's no great sins in their life. God says we're all in a prison house of sin. And He came to bring out the prisoners from the prison that I might enjoy the rest of my life. Really enjoy it. Superabundant life is what He gives. Them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. And the bars of our dungeon are sin. They separate us from God, our sins. Proverbs 5:22, He shall behold him with the cords of his sins. Hold him, held captive. Now, my friend, you've got to get out of the prison house. You can't stay there if you're going to be saved. Sinking. What did it say about Jeremiah? It mentions the mire. It's a picture of sin. And then it says sunk in the mire. He's sinking in the mire. And those who are not saved in this world are sinking one day at a time, further down in the mire. And the solemn truth is this. You read a little verse, how solemn. It's in Isaiah. Hell from beneath hath opened her doors to meet thee at thy coming. See, if I continue to sink in my sins and I die that way, I'm dropping down into a very terrible place. We trust that God will impress that upon your heart. We wouldn't even mention that if it wasn't in the Bible. But we must declare the whole counsel of God. The good news is there's salvation. But that's very bad news, isn't it? To end up sinking, 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 and then suddenly I find myself in a place where I can't get out. Can't get out of that prison. It's eternal. You hear people say sometimes, this God-forsaken place. We know what they mean. But you know, there's no place on earth right now that's forsaken by God. Not a place. But there will be a place. That place is hell. That's for those who have died in the mire, never looked up and trusted Christ. I've gotten this far in my life on my own. I'll just continue going on my own. And they end up in a place that is literally forsaken by God. Isn't that what an awful expression? A God-forsaken place. Thank God this morning you're in this place. This isn't forsaken. We can tell you in the authority of God's Word, the Lord Jesus Christ is standing right outside your heart's door this morning. If you hear His voice, you want to be saved, well, just take God at His Word if you would. If you want to be saved, take Him at His Word. Open your heart's door. In my heart of hearts, Lord, I don't want my sin. Really, I don't want my sin. I've been the controller. I've been the director of my life. But Lord, I've come to the place where I'm ready to halt. right now. I want to be saved. Oh, I don't really understand. Seems very simple to me. But you said, Lord, come as a little child. In simplicity. And just believe what I've said. What you've said. So, Lord, I do. I do. I acknowledge that I am a sinner in a prison house of sin. I'm not sure of heaven. Therefore, I'm not saved. Because those who are saved know they're going to heaven. They're hoping I might. That's all I have to ask anybody when I'm talking to them. They say they're a Christian. That means a Christ one. I belong to Christ. Not a church or whatever. I belong to Christ. I'll say to them, tell me something. Are you sure of heaven? Well, I think I'm going to heaven. I feel I'm going to heaven. I hope I'm going to heaven. I'm talking to a man or a woman that has no idea what it means to be saved. When a man or a woman is saved, they know they're saved. It's not a mystery. It's a miracle of salvation. It happens within spiritually. Christ comes to dwell in my heart by faith, and I know I'm saved. I tell people, and I have been for many years, I thank God that I can, I'm as sure of heaven as though I was already there. And I am. I have been all these years. I know I'm saved. How do I know I'm saved? There are days I don't feel close to God. There are days I don't feel like a Christian. God never wrote the feelings. God never says, thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt feel saved. I didn't say that. Wonderful feelings come as a believer. God said, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He said, now would you believe me? Would you believe me? Blessed are they that hear and believe without seeing. Now God wants to bless you this morning. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe He's reaching out to you by faith with a piercing hand this morning. By faith, take it. Lord, I'm going to believe on You. I'm going to trust You as my Savior. You say, if I do that, I'm saved? Well, Lord, I thank You that I'm saved. You will leave this place and go home to a loved one and say, you know what? I got saved today. They say, well, you don't look any different to me. What do you mean you got saved? Well, I'm sure of heaven. I'm out of sin, and I'm in Christ. Oh, really? You think you're better than me or something? That's what people will think, you see. You say, oh, no. I finally came to the realization that I'm no better than anybody else. I have no goodness of my own. And I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to be a new man. I always have wanted to be a new man. I've wanted to be a new woman. Woman of God. Man of God. And I came to God with that desire in my heart this morning. And in my heart of hearts, I said, Lord, I believe. And you know what? In that moment of time, I was saved. I said, Lord, you feel saved? You'd probably say, well, I have a wonderful feeling right now, let me tell you. But no. It said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know who said those words? God. Yes, God. Infallible God. A God who cannot lie. Impossible for God to lie. He said, if I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I was saved. That moment, saved for time and for eternity. Well, sitting in a little meeting on the 27th day of August, I did. And you know what the Bible says in John 5:24? Why, I passed from death unto life. In that single moment of time, I passed from death, sinking in the mire of my sins, unto life. And I have everlasting life. Now, friend, that's what God would have you do. That's the point of your being here in life. Don't take it from me. It's from God. God's Word. It's a dungeon. And then very quickly, a desire. Now when Ebed-Melech heard, he went forth and spake to the king. Now,
We don't know anything about Ebed-Melech.
Who is this man?
He just suddenly comes on the scene. Don't know anything about him. But he has compassion in his heart for Jeremiah. Who's Jeremiah to him?
We read of no connection between those two men.
It was the motive was pure compassion and love, a desire to set him free.
And in that respect, Ebed-Melech is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ.
For no apparent reason but love, he desired to free sinners.
Song of Solomon 7:10, his desire is toward me.
Well, may you see that this morning. God's desire is toward you. And do understand that God has brought you here today. This isn't any coincidence you're being here. What you're hearing this morning, this simple message, hasn't changed in 2,000 years, is the power of God, the dynamite of God, that's where we get the English word dynamite from, the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And it was never intended for you to, for us to hear it, leave and go home. No. We read in the Bible again and again and again. Men and women heard the gospel. They saw their lost condition. They saw the way out was Christ, and they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were saved right then and there. It was never intended to go home and mull this over. If you leave without Christ this morning, may you indeed mull it over under great conviction. But God's purpose is that you would trust Christ this morning. If there's something that you don't understand, you want to talk further. I would be delighted. Many would be delighted. I'm going to go sit downstairs in the library after the meeting by myself. And if anyone here wants to talk a little bit further about it, well, I think I'll probably weep for joy if someone walks in. I can't save anybody. We can't save anybody. But we can tell you how to be saved. So please don't be shy about that. And I won't be offended in the least if nobody comes in. It's all right. It's a library. I'll read a book before we eat. The desire to bring out the prisoners from the prison house. Put a new song in your heart. May your prayer be as the psalmist, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. Psalm 142 and 7. Notice the design for his deliverance. It wasn't like, all right, go and do it. Go ahead. Ebed-Melech, the king says, all right, go ahead and do it. It was a design for his deliverance. Planned beforehand. Well, God's salvation was planned beforehand. Can we understand this? Well, no, we can't, but God doesn't ask us to. He says, believe it. The Bible says, before the foundation of the world, before the world was formed, in the mind of God, it was a design for our salvation. What was that design? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ would come down from heaven. When the fullness of time was come, Galatians says, Mary brought forth the Lord Jesus, born of the Virgin. There's something else we can't understand. But friend, if you're going to be saved, you must let God know some things you don't. He's God. He's told us just what we need to know. And people who try and understand these things, intellectually looking at it, will never be saved. Unless they cease that line of thinking. And like a little child, believe what God has said. What was the plan here, the design? Well, under the treasury, isn't that nice? No money's needed. It says in 1 Peter, we're redeemed, bought back to God, not with corruptible things like silver and gold. You know, we'll be walking on the stuff in heaven. A funny little story, it's not going to happen, but somebody stood there, say, St. Peter at the gate. No such thing in the Bible, but there's a man standing there and he has a bucket in his hand. Peter says, what's in the bucket there? Oh, he says, gold. Peter says, well, why are you carrying around a bucket full of pavement? That's all gold is in heaven.
It's pavement to walking on streets of gold. Oh, what a future God has in mind for you. Under the treasury. No money's needed. Rich or poor may come to Christ as a free gift of God. And notice old cast clouts and rotten rags. What are they? Well, things nobody wanted. Considered of no value whatsoever. Cords into the dungeon to giant Jeremiah. Well, what a lovely picture is that. How did his salvation come about, this man in the pit? Through things nobody wanted. Cast off things. No value in those things. And our value, our salvation comes from someone whom this world has no value placed upon him whatsoever. None. Room for religion. Lots of room for religion. Satan's great design. Lots of room for that. People trying to work their way to heaven, feeling good about themselves, trying and trying. No. It's Christ we need. There's no desire. Jeremiah wrote and said, there's no desire. When he comes, there's no desire that we should... There's no beauty that we should desire him, he says. He's the undesired one. He's the unknown one. He's the unwanted one. Notice his number 30 men. Do you know how many pieces of silver he was sold for? How much Judas Iscariot received? The same number. 30 pieces of silver. Do you know why he received that number? Because that was the price of a slave. They had no value on our Lord Jesus Christ. This world holds no value. He holds no value in the eyes of the world. They'll just take his name as a curse word. Nobody wants him. Very few want him. May God stir your heart this morning. May you want him. I wonder how many times he's knocked at your heart's door. If he's knocking this morning, oh, come to him, friend, come to him. Farmer had a dog, and the dog was a good dog. Then he got old. Arthritis. And wasn't able to do much anymore. So the farmer, the heartless man. It's a true story. He decided he'd get rid of the dog. You know, he was just wasting food. I'll get another dog. Pup, you know. And so he takes this faithful dog out in the boat on the lake near his farm, has a rope tied around the dog's neck, and big heavy stones the other end. That'll be quick, he thought. That'll be quick. He'll just drown in the water, and that's the end of that. And I won't be troubled with burying him, and I'll just row back to shore. Well, he took the dog out, cord around his neck, cord around the stone. He's a rather heartless man, it seems. Threw the dog in. Dog's, you know, swimming. This is fun. This is great. Going for a swim. And then the big stone went in. Down he goes. Farmer said, well, that's that. Grab yours. Why, the cord broke. And up comes the dog. Oh, he's happy. He's barking. And, oh, I guess he needs a bath, I suppose. I don't know. But anyway, put me back on this boat. Heartless man pushed away with an oar. Dog doesn't understand. He's been so faithful to him all these years. He loved him. Flicked his hand to show his appreciation. Lay at his feet to show his love. And what's my master doing? Pushed him off again. Well, that stubborn dog kept coming back. So the man decided, well, I'll just club him with the oar. That'll be the end of that. So he stands up and takes the oar to hit the dog in the head. The boat rocked. Didn't expect that. And he fell in the water. And he can't swim. He's starting to drown. Well, I think you already can picture what happened. The dog took him, held his head up, and swam to shore and rescued him. In spite of the heartlessness displayed by that man. Now, the gospel tract doesn't tell what happened after that, but I sure hope and trust he let that dog die of old age. And I wonder how many times the Lord Jesus Christ has knocked on your heart's door and you've pushed him away. And you've pushed him away. Isn't it a marvel that he still comes back?
to rescue you from sinking down in your sins. The directions were to be followed. Time is gone. I'm not going to develop this any further, but notice the directions, you know, where Jeremiah put now, notice the urgency, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags and lamb holes, and we're going to lift you up. Well, the directions had to be followed. And friend, if you're going to be saved, you've got to obey the gospel. Repentance is necessary. You've got to turn your heart with a real, genuine desire to be a new man, a new woman. You have to. And that's when the revelation of Christ will, you'll see him as you never saw him before. And you'll believe on him and you'll be saved. But you must follow directions. Notice the decision that had to follow. He received the directions. Now, he had to obey them. What's he going to do? Isn't that wonderful? I love this verse. And Jeremiah did so. Isn't that wonderful? And Jeremiah did so. And that's what God would have you do this morning. Just do so. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And deliverance was granted, will be granted to you. And just in closing, Charles Wesley wrote lovely, lovely hymns. Just one stanza from one hymn that sums this all up. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. May God bless you. And if you're not saved, oh, do make this the day of your deliverance by trusting Christ. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we give thee thanks again for the simplicity of the gospel, the great power of thy Son to save. And if there's someone here in need of salvation, O God, may they not leave without thy Son as their own. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, giving thanks. Amen.
For the meal that's been served below. Once we finish praying, we can all go down there to eat and